531.
Ernest Gibson is the coordinator for 350 Fiji. He has been named as one of seven young climate activists as the UN Secretary General's new Youth Advisory Group on Climate Change. The announcement marks a new effort by the United Nations to bring more young leaders into decision-making and planning processes as the UN works to mobilize climate action as part of the COVID-19 recovery efforts. The members of the Secretary General's Youth Advisory Group on Climate Change represent the diverse voices of young people from all regions as well as small island states. Ernest Gibson is on the line with us now, all the way from Fiji. Bulawinaka, kia ora, and thank you so much, Ernest, for joining us.
Bulawinaka, thanks for having me on the show.
Now, Ernest Gibson, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born? Where are your parents from? What is your Pacific identity?
Sure. So I was born here in Fiji to parents who are of, as we say in Fiji, Kailoma descent. So that's a mixed race. Got a bit of European, but largely Rotuman and Fijian is the background that I have. And I've been living and working in the Pacific for the last 23 years and have thoroughly enjoyed it.
When you say the Pacific, have you worked in other island nations as well, or just primarily in Fiji?
So based primarily in Fiji, but I used to work for Oxfam in the Pacific, and they covered five countries in the region. So did a lot of work with Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, as well as Papua New Guinea.
And what has that taught you about those nations and some of the issues that they're facing?
I think obviously there are lots of things that it teaches you about the issues that we face, which are particular to the region. But I would like to talk mainly about some of the strengths that you get to see by working with communities in these countries. And one of the things that I've noticed is talking about the resilience of the Pacific spirit. And that's something that I think has seen us through some pretty dark times. But as a result, we've been able to build that really fantastic social capital to help us through anything from cyclones to recessions. And now with the most recent COVID crisis, I think for me, working in the Pacific has reinforced my belief in Pacific societies to be able to bounce back from shocks of any nature.
What is it that made you get into climate change and to become an advocate and a warrior for addressing the climate change?
I think that's a good question. And I think the answer to that has many components. But I always tell the story about when I was sort of a nine-year-old, I grew up with parents who believed that dinner conversation was something that consisted of conversations about changing the capitalist world order and revamping the current economic system that we have and ensuring that Pacific Islanders had a voice at the table. And so I think from a very young age, I always was that was something that framed the way in which I saw things. And so for me, there was no choice about kind of what I wanted to do going forward. It was always going to be something to do with ensuring that Pacific Islanders had a better life going forward. And so I think climate change is one element of it, but I think it looks sort of more deeply at the kind of systems and institutionalized mindsets that enable something like climate change to be a problem. I think it really comes from a background of family-oriented individuals who drive a sense of pride for the region, and that's the main reason I do the work that I do.
The Youth Advisory Group on Climate Change, have you had a chance to convene as a group, and what are some of the challenges that you face?
So we have had a chance to have a chat between the seven of us. And I think the first challenge that we've started to notice is that because we're all based all over the world, it means that unfortunately one or two people have to be on the call at 2 or 3 a.m., which is absolutely painful, to say the least. But I think we have a group of people that are pretty flexible, so hopefully we'd be able to try and accommodate some different kind of time schedules. Another issue that we're thinking about is ways that we can ensure that we are being meaningful and adding value to work that already exists, because I think if you have something new, you want to ensure that it's done in a way that it does respect work that already is in existence and finds ways to amplify and support that as opposed to duplicate. And so that's something that we're really looking into ensuring. But also when you think about people who represent specific regions, no matter how fantastic somebody is, they're never going to be able to do complete justice to their region unless they have ways of engaging with their community. So another discussion that we've had to have is how can we resource and finance community engagement activities to ensure that voices of the various groups within our own respective regions are being heard at that level.
Yes, that is a challenge that you have to address. What are some of the ways that you are looking at making sure that the voices of the other island nations of the Pacific are going to be part of what you present to this youth advisory group?
So I think in the Pacific, we're really lucky that we have a fantastic network of climate oriented organizations and networks, and that a lot of them are driven by youth and youth-led networks. So I think that's an advantage that we already have. And so for me, it's finding ways to ensure that we open communication channels with each other. We're constantly sharing our learnings, finding ways that we can better our approaches. And so this week, 350 Fiji, who I co-coordinate with an awesome bunch of people, will be kind of looking at our work plan for the next 6 months and finding ways that we can ensure that we're streamlining our initiatives with those that already exist, but also trying to ensure that we're fostering our relationships with other climate organizations in the region.
Being the Pacific rep on the advisory group and hearing the issues that confront the six other members, are the issues more or less the same, or are there issues that are unique to our Pacifica region?
I think there are always going to be issues that are unique to us. And a lot of that does stem from the fact that although climate change affects everybody across the globe, we are the ones that are unfortunately feeling it first. And climate change does affect peoples in an unequal manner. And so there are definitely things that we have that are unique to us. And because we are home to the majority of atoll nations, as well as low-lying countries, we need to be a lot more cautious about how we have discussions about ocean matters. There's one clear distinction in terms of issues that we talk about in the Pacific, and that comes to looking at the sovereignty of our exclusive economic zone. So, for example, if small island nations go underwater, what happens to the exclusive economic zone that currently belongs to us? Who does that then go to? Does that then become something that is managed at the high sea level? And that's a discussion that internally as a Pacific we need to be able to have, as well as develop a position on, and then ensure that we are continually fighting the position that we collectively decide on. But of course there are things that are similar. Looking at the way in which youth are engaged in these conversations, globally, there is a tendency to have conversations that are a little bit on an ad hoc basis and slightly tokenistic. And I think as a group, that's something that we've been able to recognize as being a collective issue that we can fight against together.
How empathetic are the other members of the advisory group to the plight of our island nations that are under real threat of climate change?
I think there's a recognition of a lot of the work that Pacific Islanders have driven and led for a very long time around the climate movement. And so it is a bit of a daunting task coming into that space, because you have a group of people who are super experienced, but kind of looking towards the Pacific for guidance because of the way that we've led this fight for a while. And so I'm really leaning into relationships and networks that I have across this region to be able to do us justice. But I think for me, the answer to your question, which may not be completely answering it, is that they have a lot of faith in Pacific resilience and the way in which we've carried this fight forward. So I don't know if I would use the word empathetic, but I think they are respectful. They hold the Pacific in a lot of respect.
Vinakavakalevu Ernest Gibson, 350 Fiji coordinator, climate activist, and UN Youth Advisory Group on Climate Change. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for the work that you do for our community.
Thank you for having me.